privileged to have, as Pastor Lauren mentioned, privileged to have my parents here with us this week. I may have told you that story in previous sermons, but we always have some phones ringing. There is something very special because my father and I, we haven't had the chance to spend Father's Day together very often in the last 12, 14, 13 years, something like that. So it's a privilege to be able to do that tomorrow with Dad, and not just a phone call, but maybe even have a cup of coffee together. So that'll be great. I admit to you that it's a challenge to speak to fathers. It's a little easier to talk on Mother's Day for me, and maybe other pastors could understand where I'm coming from. But see, I'm a dad too, and it's quite easy for me to think about Father's Day as an opportunity to challenge quite abruptly and with maybe even a little strong arm to all the other fathers in all the areas that I'm just not good at, and I'm calling you to, hey, let's get this together and let's do a better job. I have had that struggle. Well, this week we also had another blessing, and it was a time to share with a luncheon on Wednesday with some of the seniors come and have lunch with the pastors. And we had a good discussion about fathers. And I think, praise the Lord, there was some good admonition that I really want to follow. And so to borrow some words throughout this message, I think if it's okay with those that were present, I'll probably, if the Lord permits, my memory to work, I'll probably use some of those words that were shared with me. Fathers, thank you. And so maybe just right off the bat, let me just have the fathers stand for just a minute. Would you mind doing that? I'd like all the fathers to stand if you're able. God has placed you in a position of authority that comes with amazing yet overwhelming responsibility. I believe God wants to encourage you every day, and I believe that He does that through His Word, and I hope and pray today that we'll share a few of those pointers with you. But as we look around at one another, I think it's good for us to take note that we have in our roles as fathers, we also have a band of brothers. If you are in this community, and if you are maybe even not regularly in this community, please know that I believe this with my whole heart. You can look around and note these brothers. If you don't know their name, find out their name after service. And please understand and take it to the bank that when we have those struggles, as men, as brothers, as fathers, let's reach out to one another and support one another. Fatherhood is not for the faint of heart. It is challenging. I want to encourage you today that God has called you to an amazing purpose, and He's gifted you with some beautiful examples through His Word. Let's dig in and find them. Folks, could we give these men a round of applause? Thank you, fathers. You may be seated. One of the challenges that was given to me is find a father in the Bible that exemplifies fatherhood in God's way to a T. And so I began looking, and I know that you're aware there's some things that we can pull from the Scripture that would give us some good encouragement about fatherhood. So men, today what I want to do is I want to talk not to you, but I want to talk about you. Would you permit me to do that? Can I talk about you? So who's going to listen? So everyone that didn't stand up, I'm going to talk to you today. Fathers, you may listen along. But in an attempt to not come down with a heavy hand, long arm of the law, so to speak, I want to talk about you today And we'll get to that, I think, Lord willing, in just a moment. I'm looking through the Bible, and the first, I'm thinking of a few names. I'm just going to bring three names to you, three examples. And Abraham, as a godly father. Paul, with no children of his own, but often referred to children, his children, and teaching them, and all of that. So Paul as an example of a godly father, and of course, our Heavenly Father. Well, in Genesis 18, the 19th verse, it's something that God declares about Abraham. It says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." God planning to bless Abraham and really bring about this great nation through him. God declares that, "I know this guy. I can trust him. He will be a man who will teach his children. He will teach them the right way. He will teach them my ways." And it's not much further in the Word of God, verse or chapter 22, rather, that you know the account. You know the thing that happens right away. And God gives Abraham an opportunity to glimpse the absolute perfect father, the role of the perfect father, gives him an opportunity to glimpse what it's like to spend just a second in the Heavenly Father's shoes, so to speak. I won't read the entire thing, but you know this account. It's where God tests or tempts or tries Abraham in chapter 22, where he says, "Take your son, your only son, whom you lovest, and sacrifice him to me. Take him and sacrifice him. Give him up for my sake." And he calls on Abraham to do this. And Abraham takes Isaac and some servants, and they load the donkey, and they head out. And for 3 days they walk. And you imagine that walk. What a walk that was. Walking and walking and wondering. And then there's this point, if we can find it very quickly here, that says, Isaac says to his dad, "I'm not going to find it. My eyes aren't working that great. Where's the lamb?" And what does that do to the walking time of Abraham and his son going there to this mountain to offer the sacrifice to the Lord? Isaac says, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham says, "God will provide." You know, this is an amazing thing where God gives Abraham the opportunity to glimpse what it's really like to be the perfect father. Of course, we know the perfect father is our Heavenly Father. Amen. And we know, and as this account goes on, that God did provide a lamb. There was a ram caught in the thicket, remember, and the angel halted the sacrifice of Isaac so that Isaac did not have to be slain. Fathers, I'll talk to you for a moment. Would you want to be in that position? That is an amazing story of Abraham's commitment to God. When we start looking at that example of being a father, folks, and again, I'm talking to everyone else except fathers. Do you know that as fathers, I guess this is the extreme, and I pray that we haven't faced this exactly, but God calls, as the Heavenly Father, he has called men and provided that men would become fathers, and there is this perfect role that our Heavenly Father, creator of all things, fills so perfectly with pureness and holiness. Do you think, folks, that the position, the role of father is one that carries heaviness and weight and pressure and stress? The answer is yes. And so in this Father's Day season, I guess the question and the reason that I want to talk to all of you except the fathers about the fathers is, could we consider, is this worth a day to set aside for Father's Day and do as the commandments say, honor your father and mother. We had Mother's Day last month. It's time for Father's Day. Do you think that this role of fatherhood merits some honor, some respect, some time offered in loving care, appreciation, words of kindness? I think it does. You see, we live in a time where fathers are quite often in social media and in the just everywhere you turn, the fathers are bashed. And why is that? We know there's problems, we know there's issues, but I want to speak today to you, this congregation, this people. Could we set aside this time and honor God by honoring our fathers in a way like we haven't done it before? It doesn't mean any special gifts, in my opinion. It doesn't mean special gifts of great monetary value. We don't have to go on some grand and glorious trip or vacation. Those things are fine. But what it might mean, and I certainly believe that it means this, that we would respect the role and consider the things that have to come from the heart and the mouth of a father. There's some words that I want to share now. Listen to this. These are things that we're very familiar with. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We talked about this maybe just a couple of weeks ago. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you were here and you remember, that admonition is to compel them to have Jesus on their heart and mind with your children, with those you're in charge of. And how many of us speak to the fathers for a minute? And moms, you know what? You're a part of this. This really is a collective parental role, but we'll stay with fathers. But moms, you pay attention here too. How many of us have taken the opportunity to nurture our children to the ways of Jesus Christ, disciple them to Jesus, the master teacher? We've taken that opportunity. And how many times do we meet with, absolutely, that's exactly what I was wanting to do, Dad? I think maybe and perhaps you've had that opportunity to experience that success. But what I'm wanting to get at is this, and let me share another verse, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was reading some commentary about that verse, and to train up a child is actually to cause them to teach them ways that really encourage no other choice. Does that make any sense? It encourages us to teach our children. Now, this is going to sound like, because we talk a lot about free will, don't we? We talk about free will. We get to choose. I think I said this not too long ago. You know what? Our children get to choose their way. Absolutely right. But that doesn't mean we don't teach them about the correct way. To the best of our ability, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of our surrender to the Holy Spirit, to let the Spirit work in us, to teach our children the ways of God. Free will doesn't include a haphazard, let's learn every faith or religion or every belief system belief in the entire universe and just pour it out for our kids and let them choose. That's not what free will is about. Free will is about giving our best to the God, to our Heavenly Father, and allowing Him to instruct us to teach our children in His ways. Deuteronomy, remember? Teach them to your children. Teach what? The ways of God. Not the ways of the world and everything else you can possibly imagine, but the ways of God to your children. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you lay down, all the time, every day, teach your children. And the whole free will thing comes in, yes, they get to choose. But train up a child in the way they should go. Oh, I forgot. We have children here today too, don't we? Did you guys think that, oh man, what's he's talking like we're not even here? See, God has commissioned your parents, and today we're talking about fathers. He has commissioned them to, don't make you angry, but set you in the mind of Jesus Christ. Set your mind on the mind of Jesus Christ and on the ways of Jesus Christ. And also, excuse me, provoke not, pardon me, Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go. That simply means there is a specific way that God wants us to go. And yes, we have some flex when it comes to understanding, but it's not all across the map, brothers and sisters. We have a book that brings it down to some guidelines. Now, why am I sharing this with you on Father's Day? And young people, why am I pointing you out? Because I know this might be uncomfortable for you. We get the opportunity, as we're looking at Scripture, train up a child. And you're hearing me say things like this. Training up a child is giving them information, instruction, and direction where it begins to remove all other choices, not because we want to dominate, because those are crazy choices now. God's way is best and it's right. Why am I doing this? Why do I speak this way? And I want to honor fathers. Can you recognize with me that that kind of a message doesn't always make dad the favorite guy in the room? Mom, in the crowd, sometimes it comes down to, you know that game, ask your dad, ask your mom? Anybody play that? Kids, anybody play that? Everybody say yes if you do. Ooh, thanks. Caleb recorded that, so we've got that. Mom in the crowd, you understand that sometimes it comes down to, you know what, we've discussed it, we've had the ask mom, ask dad thing, but now it's coming down. Here's where it's going to lie. Whatever your dad says, that's where it stops. We're not going any further. Familiar? It was in my home. That was familiar. I heard somebody this last Wednesday say, you know, the relationship with dad, and this was one of our elders, a senior fellow, said the relationship was there, but it wasn't just like live and in color. But when dad said something, it was done. It was over, and I respected it for sure. See, folks, dads don't have the opportunity to be the favorite sometimes, maybe often, I don't know, and maybe it's different in your homes, and I pray that there is a good relationship, but when the bottom line comes down and it has to be settled, dad's like, all right, this is where we're going to draw, this is what we're going to say, it's what we're going to do. And it's one of those like it or lump it, right? To be a father carries with it a heavy weight. To be a father, in the role of fatherhood, you have to make choices and decisions, and you have to count on, and I pray, men, let me talk to you for a minute, I pray, fathers, that we're listening to the Spirit of God to direct us in that. That's our only hope, guys. And back to everyone else, see the weight of the role of the father in our homes. And honor to them is due. Here's something else. I mentioned Paul as an example of a godly father. And I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians. And I'm kind of staying in the same realm. And I don't know, Pastor Lauren, this... You know, next year, maybe Pastor Lauren and I will switch, and he'll do fathers, and I'll do the Mother's Day message, because we need to get variety in there. This is absolutely, completely a different style of message than I've ever preached on Father's Day. So send all the mail to Pastor Lauren, all right? He can read it first and then gently let me down, okay? So I'm going to stay kind of on the same tone, the same flavor of speech here as we go to 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. And Paul, writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, really begins to reveal our Heavenly Father in such an amazing way. But yet, you'll see that there is probably going to be some not so popular thought towards him with these kinds of words. Starting with verse 14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So this heart of God that Paul is sharing with the people is really being quite directive in a very, very instructional, correctional, and abrupt way. These are things that you shouldn't do, and these are things that you should do. These are the things that you need to surrender to. And in this realm of Father's Day talk, this is kind of some of the things that men, fathers, for a minute, listen. We have some responsibility with the great privilege of taking on a role that is expressly mirrored to us in such an amazing way by our Heavenly Father. Who would not say that's an amazing role? And just like we as collective, we talk about none of us are worthy of the price that was paid for us to save us. We as men, as fathers, would say, wow, I don't want this role. I can't do this. You want me? I mean, I have this title. It's even compared a bit to our Heavenly Father, and I'm a father to these children. Yes, there's differences. Yes, he's eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing. But yet there's this image of the perfect Father that has been trickled down through us. And praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes all of this possible. That we are to take this role, and it's heavy. And we get to give this message as Paul is giving to the people. Paul is not God, but he's given the same message to the people, and he's willing to stand for it. And he's willing to talk to them as children and saying, don't do the things of the world. Don't be apart with idols, and don't be with unbelievers. There's difference. What does he say next in the next verse? "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I mean, these are pretty direct words, and I would absolutely expect, hope, and pray that as fathers, there's some relationship going on that helps us to give these messages with arms and lips. Arms to embrace and lips to speak love. But these messages deliver us into a role that is going to find resistance and sometimes rejection. Think about our Heavenly Father. Anyone reject him? Ever? Yesterday? Sure. Please know, I'm not putting fathers at the same level as our Heavenly Father. But there's a comparison. There's a relationship. There's something that we as fathers can learn. See, without bashing fathers, without coming down on them, even in this encouraging, what I pray is an encouraging to everyone else to honor fathers, there's plenty for us to see that says, wow, this is crazy. I was supposed to be encouraged today, but I'm feeling quite loaded down. So I'm not even talking to the fathers. I'm talking to everyone else. Though not on the same level as our Heavenly Father, there's some relationship there that families, moms, children, God has given the privilege of this authority, which comes with amazing responsibility, great responsibility, to your father. And when these types of words come out, don't do these things. Stay on this path. Come out of the worldly ways and seek me only, as your father points you to our Heavenly Father. Realize, please, and I'm talking to the young people, I'm talking to anyone. I still have my father. I'm blessed to have my father. I'm talking to myself. Remember all that they have and are going through, doing, learning, and then offering teaching. Remember all of those things. And that their heart and goal, I believe, is to honor God and to train up their children the way God wants them to. Some other words that I heard during this last week, and I'm going to borrow these from Pastor Lauren. We get together for Mother's Day, and I'm not here to bash moms, but I want to draw a little bit of an analogy here that can help us see. Moms, we love you so much, and we need you. Our children, your children, need you. And there's some very powerful elements of relationship filled with emotion. And then often there's a lot of togetherness in the relationship with mom. And so it's quite easy to then honor or find ways to support and encourage. Bouquet of flowers. A day at the salon. Something frou-frou. Of the men that stood up earlier, the fathers, not many of them, I don't think, are going to be real encouraged by something like that. And then the element of time together is often lost, or at least generally not as available, because fathers do get up each morning and go to work and they're gone. I remember my father being up early before I ever woke. And when I got up, he was gone to work. And he would come home and sometimes barely make it up the steps to get to the recliner and kind of pass out from working so hard. Manual labor all of his life. Here's the words that I'm borrowing. All of that mess, that was from me. This is what I'm borrowing for Pastor Lauren. Do we understand that each time, I hope it's okay I'm borrowing this, because I can't say it as good, and I still won't. Every time that your husband, your dad, walk out the door, it wasn't with words, but with his actions, he was saying, I love you. He'd be going all day at work, all day saying, I love you. He'd come home tired and wore out, still willing to play checkers, saying, I love you. Willing to say the words that are often resisted and sometimes rejected. Pick up your Bible. Let's go to church. Change that channel to some Christian music. I got some kids' attention that time. Those times that your dad is encouraging you to do the right thing. The message that he's actually giving is not, I don't want you to listen to that. I don't want you to stay at home. I have to go to church, so you do too. That's not the message he's saying. The message he's saying is, I love you. I love you. With all the energy that he expends for you, for us, with all the encouragement, with all the instruction that will certainly make him the guy you want to put in the corner of the room sometimes. How many of you spent some time in the corner? At least it felt like it. Fathers, we've been there. But the next day, guess what? Because it's what God says is best, we still share the right message. The godly message. Moms, wives, I'll get in trouble for this, but please consider the times that your husband, father of your children, has to take a hard line. And what the message that may come out of his mouth with some very difficult words, or the opportunity that he has to leave and go and work and be gone extra days, that message is for you too. Not just the children, but the message is, I love you. With all those things considered, I ask you again, do you think the role of father is for lightweights? Personal testimony that I'll share briefly is this. I won't intend to speak for any father here today, but I will tell you that I'm not up to the task. I can't handle it. There's no way in my own strength and my own power that I can deliver a message, that I can love in a way, that I can present myself with enough positive strength, energy, and power that would be good for my wife and my children. The role of fatherhood, I can't do it. But by the grace of God. What it has to make the difference is, I commit to trusting in God's power and his grace. To promote me beyond my own self to the opportunity and the ability to bless my children and to bless my wife. It is my desire to be a father after the image of our Heavenly Father. I encourage all of us men, all of you fathers, to take on the same commitment. And I plead with you, moms, wives, children of any age, find the opportunity to understand what dad has done, has gone through, has surrendered, has sacrificed to say, I love you. That's my encouragement. Praise team, would you come? Fathers, it's an amazing blessing to know this. As we collectively all together, fathers, mothers, children, we sing to our Heavenly Father, a good, good Father, perfect in all of his ways. It's reassuring and quite comforting as understudies in this role of father, if I can put it that way, men. We're looking to a perfect example. We know we are fallen, broken men. And like everyone in this room, to fill whatever role that God has placed in our lives, our hope, our success, our victory is in Jesus. Families, if I could say this one last thing to you. When Paul said, come out of the world, don't be part of that. He finished with this verse in 2 Corinthians 6 as he's telling this thing about God, saying, come away. Verse 18 says, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Families, you have an opportunity to honor that perfect Heavenly Father that we just sang about in presenting special and devoted and committed love to the Father, or the one that fills the role of the Father in your life. God makes this proclamation. I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. What an amazing support. And when we would turn to our Heavenly Father, like He so lovingly and willingly takes us in and embraces us as His children, we turn and we surrender and say, yes, I will be your child. What an amazing thought. Would you go with me on this? What an amazing thought and opportunity to say to your Father today, this understudy Father, who is still reaching and climbing and trying and pursuing God with his heart, I'm your kid. Thank you for loving me. Let's seek God together. What an amazing way to present honor to your fathers this Father's Day. Father, we thank you today for being perfect and holy and just. You show us the way. You are the way. You are perfect, and this example that you give, it's flawless. This love that you offer is spotless and pure. And we thank you. And we thank you, Father, for giving us our families, giving us our fathers, our mothers, our children. We thank you, Father, for the way that you've set this up so that we can be supporting one another, loving one another, and encouraging one another. And as we take this time today and this weekend, Father, to honor those men who are our dads, loving us. Father, may we remember to understand that their position before you is just like our very own, and that is one of humility. We stand in awe of you. But may we be grateful for all that they do, all that they are, and the way you've commissioned them to do the hard things. May we respect that. Thank you, Father, for your so many blessings in our lives. We love you. We ask your blessing on our fellowship time. May we embrace one another and be encouraging, lifting each other up so that we may all live the gospel, sharing your love and joy to others. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.